This is the State of Things from the American Tobacco Historic District. I'm Frank Stacio. It's been 8 months since thousands of military personnel were deployed to the U.S.-Mexico border, but the soldiers and Marines posted there have little direct contact with the people at the center of the mission, migrants. Steve Walsh is a military and veterans reporter with KPBS in San Diego, part of the American Homefront Project. He's been following the lives and work of troops at the border. Steve is also tracking another big story today, the court-martial of Navy SEAL Edward Gallagher. Gallagher is accused of committing war crimes while on duty in Iraq, and Steve Walsh joins us now from San Diego. Steve, welcome.
Hi, Frank. How's it going?
It's going well. Let's start with this court-martial now. Special Operations Chief Edward Gallagher, 39-year-old combat veteran facing war crimes charges. Tell us about the story.
So Gallagher is accused of stabbing a wounded teenage ISIS fighter in May 2017 and then posing with the body and then sending an email to a fellow SEAL saying, good story behind this, I got him with my hunting knife. And he also is accused of shooting an elderly man with his sniper rifle, also a young girl in July of 2017. In this case, seven SEALs have been granted immunity to testify against him.
Yeah, it's quite a case, and a case, and in a recent wrinkle, the defense now is accusing the prosecution of spying on their email traffic, right?
Correct. They're accused. The defense accused prosecutors of placing these email trackers in emails that were sent to defense lawyers and a reporter for Navy Times. They were trying to track down the source of thousands of pages of leaked documents in the case. The judge actually agreed in the sense that this had impacted the defense and threw out the lead prosecutor in this case just a little more than a week ago.
Yeah, and this is a fairly significant case and one that has even attracted the attention of President Trump.
It has indeed. Eddie Gallagher was one of the names mentioned when there was talk that President Trump was going to pardon a number of people that had been accused or convicted of war crimes. And nothing happened in that case. But the president had tweeted out that that Gallagher should be removed from the brig pre-trial. This was on the recommendation of several, mostly Republican congressmen that had taken up Gallagher's cause.
It's a significant case also because, according to the reporting on this, a number of military personnel who had been involved with Gallagher had been trying to report this and had gotten made little headway. It took a long time for this case, apparently, to get to this court-martial.
Indeed, and that's going to be one of the real issues in this case. The investigation into this didn't really kick into high gear until almost a year after everything happened, which means there is no body. There is no crime scene. So this is going to be incredibly dependent on eyewitness testimony. Now, this defense will say that some of the seven SEALs that have been granted immunity to testify against Gallagher, that they'll actually back up Gallagher's version of events. But we're going to find out soon. After all of this pretrial publicity, jury selection began yesterday. Opening arguments are set to begin in just an hour or so. And then the prosecutors over the next couple of days are expected to bring all of those SEALs. They'll be testifying this week. So we'll know with more specificity exactly what they'll say in court.
All right. Well, we will be following that with great interest. But let's pivot now and talk about your ongoing reporting on the life of troops at the border, the U.S. border with Mexico. Give us a sense of how many American troops are now deployed down there.
Well, the number keeps changing, but right now they're saying it's about 4,000. That includes a couple thousand National Guard. That means that number has been going down pretty significantly over the last couple of months. They had had a mission to the border to basically install concertina wire. They installed more than 100 miles of concertina wire from California all the way through Texas. But those troops have since gone home. So there are about 1,200 troops right now that are in 150 locations all the way from California to Texas. They're monitoring mobile surveillance cameras. They're in these trucks provided by the Border Patrol, and they're basically scanning the border and beyond the border to see whether or not anyone is crossing.
And what are they allowed to do? What are they not allowed to do?
Well, the troops that are involved in mobile surveillance, they are armed. They are carrying a sidearm. But when I talked to the leaders of the mission, they were very clear that they did not want to have any of their troops having direct contact with migrants, that they were there in support of the Border Patrol, and that their rules of engagement, essentially, were that if they saw something, to immediately contact Border Patrol, and that Border Patrol would then handle it. Even with that, they do have contact once or twice a week, they said, anywhere between California to Texas. It's usually people that are either looking to turn themselves in, they're asylum seekers that are looking to turn themselves into Border Patrol, or people that are just trying to find water. Now, there have been a couple of incidents, though. There was a Marine incident where a Marine in Calexico discharged his weapon. That's under investigation. There were two soldiers that were detained outside of Clint, Texas, by a Mexican military who had thought that they had crossed the border, though they had not. And then in Yuma, Arizona, someone aimed a weapon at them, and the Yuma Sheriff's Police actually made arrests in that case. So there have been contacts here or there.
Well, you know, you talked about the rules of engagement in this case, which is largely to don't use your weapon other than to protect yourself. This is uncustomary rules or missions, particularly you mentioned Marines are down there. I mean, as I understand it, Marines take the hill. They don't occupy. They take the hill and somebody comes in and occupies after them. This must be a fairly unfamiliar and perhaps uncomfortable role for Marines and other military down there.
Well, they will tell you that they are embracing this mission. There are Marines in California. I haven't spoken to any of them since before Christmas. There hasn't been a tremendous amount of access to any of the soldiers and Marines along the border. But the soldiers that I talked to were from Fort Lewis. They were actually artillerymen. They were the soldiers I talked to were practicing on a howitzer before they had come down there to work on these surveillance cameras. But they say they're embracing of the mission. This is not like what you would imagine when someone is deployed. These soldiers are actually staying in hotel rooms in El Paso, Texas. So it's definitely much different from their normal mission.
And this does have a history. You know, we think about this. This is not the first time the U.S. military has been there. Remind us about an incident that happened back in the 1990s.
Well, that's true. And I think this is the source of a lot of the reticence on the part of the U.S. military. Back in 1997, a Marine ended up killing a rancher along the border in Arizona. The Marines were stationed. They had thought that the rancher was pointing a weapon at them. Turns out that the rancher probably didn't even know that the Marines were there. They shot and killed the rancher. And after that, the Marines and the military in general became much more reticent about offering up their assistance along the border. And it really wasn't until the Bush administration that they started sending Marines and active duty in large numbers again. And there were missions during the Obama administration as well, but it's much more controlled than it had been back in the 1990s.
You talked about this project, including staffing surveillance cameras. Do we have any idea, you know, sort of what this mission up to date has accomplished so far?
We do. We do have some numbers. Now, I talked to Brigadier General Walter Dusney, who's the Deputy Commander of Army North, which is the entity that's in charge of the border mission. He says that soldiers and Marines have helped apprehend 13,000 detainees and helped with the seizure of 3,000 pounds of marijuana since they've been there starting in October, which is a significant amount. But if you put that up against what the Customs and Border Protection is saying, since the beginning of the year, they've apprehended 593,000 detainees, and they average 5,000 pounds of narcotics seized every month. So it's what the military is doing, at least by the numbers, is small by comparison to the larger issue here.
And I also understand that the Pentagon has now agreed to transport migrants to detention facilities and perhaps will also build 6 new detention facilities. Is that right?
Well, that is not perhaps. There were 2 soft-sided detention facilities that were created by contractors with Border Patrol, but the Pentagon has agreed to create 6 more of these detention facilities along the border. They have not listed exactly where these are going to be. They have also agreed to help with transporting migrants to these facilities and help with food service. So there will be a much more close contact with migrants than there had been in these months leading up to now.
All right, Steve Walsh, thanks so much for talking with us.
Thanks, Frank.
Steve Walsh is a military and veterans reporter with KPBS in San Diego, part of WUNC's American Homefront Project, and he joined us from San Diego.